I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I have no limitations, but I know that God allows us to limit ourselves. And I know He expects us to have a little time for ourselves and to be able to have time for family and everything else. I know He doesn't want us to work all the time. I know He wants us to have a little fun. Don't you think? Now, our God said He come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Is that what He said? So that's what we want to do, to have life and have it abundantly. Now then, as most of you know, there's some major crises going on in the world. The number one problem we have is the government of the United States of America. You know, we've never seen anything like this. You know, we've got such a tremendous thing. I wonder what has happened to all of the men and women that are working for us in the government of the United States today. It's like they're all against us instead of for us. You know, every time I pick up an article or something, I see where they're taking away our religious freedoms. You know, and now then, I just read an article just a few minutes ago from WorldNet Daily, I think is the title of the organization. I look at so many. And how that the government now is trying to bring a law in where you don't have to be married no more. We're going to do away with the marriage laws in the United States of America. Why? Because of the homosexuals. You know, in other words, instead of having to fight for a right for them to get married, we're just going to be able to live with anybody you want to with no laws. And so when we do, we're going to have total chaos. You know, it's awful what they're doing in Washington and how they're trying to eliminate this. And, of course, I thought about a scripture. I think it's in 2 Timothy 4:1, I think. Dave, look that up, see if that's the one that says forbidding to marry. I think in the last days, perilous times will come. I think that's 2 Timothy 4:1. I don't know, but let's look at it. And let's see. And so I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom. That's not the scripture I wanted. But let's see that. At verse, it's either verse 3 or 4, or I'm in the wrong Timothy. It's either in 1 Timothy. That's it. That's the one right there. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from what we believe. They will follow lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. Isn't that something? And verse 2, let's see what it says. Verse 2 says, okay. These teachers are hypocrites and they're liars. So that goes to show you who they are and what they do. They pretend to be religious. Now then, do you know about anybody in Washington today that pretends to be religious, that says they're Christians, but they're not doing anything that produces fruit that we're supposed to produce? It says, but their consciences are dead. Oh, we got a bunch of them up there like that now. And then he says in verse 3, he says, they will say it is wrong to be married. Oh, when I read that article, I thought about this. I thought, wow, they will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanksgiving by people who know and believe the truth. Isn't that amazing? You know the problem with us today in the church? We don't know the word. We don't read it. We don't know what it says. We have no idea. We have gone to church and listened to somebody talk about the Bible or read one verse or two verses and then preach 20 or 30 minutes around one or two verses. And when we left church, we didn't know any more about God's word than we did when we came in there. Is that right, young lady? That's true, isn't it? It sure is. And so we don't understand what the Word of God really says. And so when people say, you know, God, He's loving. Have you ever heard that in church? God is love. He would never judge me. God would never make me sick. He would not punish me for going out and sleeping with somebody I'm not married with. He would never do that. I mean, these liars are just saying, you don't have to be married. You know, just move in with whoever you want to. I mean, if two guys want to move in together and do anything they want to, two girls want to move in together, or a guy and a girl that just want to move in, want to try each other for a few days or a few weeks, and maybe have four or five kids, and then just go split their own way, that's okay. What does God call those guys? Liars. They're preaching doctrines of demons. And what they're doing this so that you will break God's rules so he can, the enemy can keep you sick and afflicted and tormented. And are we filling up hospitals all over the place? I don't care where you go to, downtown Dallas, downtown Fort Worth, downtown Houston, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You go to New York City. I don't care where you go, they're building bigger hospitals and more of them. They're all over the place. And as soon as they get them built, they're full. And, of course, doctors, bless their heart. You know, some of them are good Christian doctors. But, you know, they're really, I realize that most doctors are there, you know, to help you. They want to do good, most doctors. But, you know, they've been led down the wrong path by so many people. Because we come in and we're sick, and the doctor does the best he can to get you healed. Maybe you do surgery on you or whatever, and then maybe while he's doing the surgery, something goes wrong, and you've come out there worse than you were when you went in, and then naturally, of course, you want to file a lawsuit on him. And you know, there's nobody telling you. The reason you were in the hospital in the first place was because of your sin. Nobody wants to take, hey, I'm responsible. Have y'all noticed that? We don't want to say, I'm responsible. I sinned, so I'm in here. People say, no, 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 no. This could never be. God's a God of love. Is he a God of love? Oh, yeah. He is a God of love. Do you love your children? If you have children or your grandchildren, do you love those little critters? Yes, but just because you love them, does that mean you never discipline them? I mean, if you don't, God says if you don't discipline, you don't love them. See, and that's another problem we have today. That's why so many people are sick, because we are never trained and taught in God's word that we're supposed to obey God. And you can ask the average Christian in church, just quote me your favorite 100 verses, and they'd all fall out. You know, most preachers would fall over. Before you get out that door, you're going to have to quote me 100 verses or you can't leave today. Some of y'all going to be here a while, you know it? Y'all know where I'm coming from? Well, I didn't tell y'all before you came, but I'm going to require you to quote 50 before you leave today. So y'all better start doing some serious study today. No, I am going to require you to be able to quote at least one. Can you do that? Okay, well, as long as you can quote one, I won't be too hard on you today. I remember one time whenever I was a Southern Baptist and I was going to different camps and things with guys, and we were walking up the stairs, and I had never taught a Sunday school class or nothing. I'm trying to learn how to do these things at these little camps. And as we're going up the stairs, the leader of the camp walked up to me and he says, Thurman, it's your turn. When we get to the top of the stairs, there's about 30 men. He said, when we get there, it's your turn, and I want you to teach 15 minutes on this subject. I like to die. I mean, I have never taught a Sunday school in my life, and I'm going to have, I got from the time I'm at the bottom of the stairs to the top to think about this and pray about this. You talk about agony. I was in agony. Well, today that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't be a problem at all, but it was then, you know, so I can understand. But the things that we need to learn about God right off the bat, that he is a God of love. And we all know he is a God of love, but we need to also learn that he is a God of judgment. You know, he will judge his people. And, you know, most of you, if I were to ask you a question, if you've never been here or hadn't heard none of my teachings, I said, do you believe God will make you sick? You know what the average church member will tell me? No, God would never make me sick. Well, do you believe God would kill you then if he wouldn't make you sick? Do you believe he'd just kill you? No. Well, what if I told you that he will do all those things? Then maybe I ought to have the word to prove what I'm saying, huh? So let's just really start this out tough. Let's just start out with Deuteronomy 32:39, and let's see what he says under the old covenant. I want you just to see this God, he is a God of love. But you, when you learn what God will do, y'all come on in. Just come on in, find you a place, no problem. When you learn who God is and what he will do, the fear of God kind of rises up in you. Now, I want you to see in Deuteronomy 32:39 what the king said he would do. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I what? Is that what you read on the screen? Now, maybe that's not true. Maybe we're reading that out of a foreign Bible. You reckon that's really what the Bible says? Oh! I mean, if God kills, that means if we do something wrong, and like in the New Testament, he said, if you commit the sin unto death. That's in the New Covenant. You know, a lot of people have never heard of the sin unto death. They didn't even know there was such a thing. And we're dying all over the place and wondering, why? What happened? But God says there, see, now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me, I kill and I make alive. Now, which one of those do you want him to do to you? I want him to make me alive, don't you? Until he's through with me, and I want that at a very old age, right? I mean, I want to be healthy and strong till I'm at a very old age, and I've fulfilled my days with him, and I'm still preaching the word, kicking out devils. And he said, son, that's the last one. It's time for you to come home and get your rewards. And you're saying, and all of a sudden, you're walking, and you take a step, and you say, wow, what happened? Wow, I'm walking on streets of gold. Lord, I'm in heaven. Isn't that the way it's going to be? Is that the way you want it to be? Yeah, I don't want to be dying, laying in a hospital with cancer or something for 10 years. You know, pain and agony with bed sores on me and all that stuff. I've seen people that before I learned these principles, even people in my own family. I remember one aunt that her and her husband, they didn't serve God. They didn't put God first. Her or him, either one. And I saw her laying in a hospital bed for the last 10 years of her life, couldn't move, had arthritis so bad that her hands were so spread out that her feet, her hands looked like a duck's foot, and it was all spread out and twisted over backwards. And I used to look at that and think, oh, God, I don't understand what makes her like that. I had no idea that it was sin. And then, of course, her husband, my dad's brother, he absolutely would not acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. I remember one time I went down to his house. I said, Lord, Uncle Lloyd, he does not know you. I said, Lord, I've got to be able to talk to him about you. So I went down to his house, stopped there, and I was in agony as I went in because I knew so little about God's word. But I had to tell my uncle about Jesus. I went in there and I told him about Jesus. And how much Jesus loved him. And what he had done for him. Just like I've done with many a person now about healing. And he said, oh, Thurman, he said, that stuff's for you. I don't need that stuff. I said, yes, you do, Uncle Lloyd. You need Jesus. Nah, he said, I don't need it. I'm okay. Well, let me tell you. It wasn't long after I did that, he got sick. He was about 80, but he got sick. And his sister and her husband took him to the VA hospital because he was an ex-vet. They took him to the hospital, and the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he was in agony and pain. He was dying. God was killing him. He'd given him 80 years, and he'd turned him down. He had sent me. And then on the way home from the hospital that night, he's in the back seat of the car. He said, sis! He said, what, Lord? He said, look at them ugly things. What are those ugly things in the car with us? She said, Lloyd, there's nothing in the car with us. He said, yes, there is. Look at them beasts. Look at them terrible things. They're coming to get me. And he died. Yeah. When I go and tell somebody about Jesus and they turn down Jesus, that's the worst thing that they can ever do. When I go and sit down and tell you that Jesus not only loved you enough to save you, but he loved you enough to heal you. And some people make fun of me there. But if I don't get them healed, if they do believe in Jesus as the healer, I mean the Savior, at least when they laugh at me for healing, when they die, at least they get to go to heaven. They may not get a single reward when they get there, but at least they will be in heaven. Like I've said many a time, I'd rather be a buck private in heaven than a general in hell any day. Hadn't you? But we don't have to go to either one of those places. We can accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can believe His Word and believe He is who He is and He'll do exactly what He said. And we can get our healing. And we can walk in divine health. Is that what we want to do? Amen. I just think, I can tell you for sure that every time Jesus makes a walk through hell, I can just see my uncle saying, Lord, yeah, you sent Thurman to tell me, but I didn't believe it. But if you'll just give me one more opportunity, I will believe you. Real easy to believe when you've been in hell a little while, isn't it? But he won't ever get that opportunity. He'll be there forever. You know, there's a lot of people getting healed in the kingdom of God. But there's a lot of people that are not believing in Jesus today. And the church, when we get healed, what amazes me, we as Christians, once we get healed, we don't go out and tell nobody about it. You know, there may be, Jesus might have healed you so you could tell somebody about your miracle so they could accept Him as Lord and Savior. That might have been the reason He healed you. You need to be on fire for Jesus. We are in the last days. I mean, we are in the last days. Everywhere we look, there is devastation. I mean, everywhere. You know? I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of stories, and it may or may not come to pass. I don't know. But, you know, they say that this oil well that they drill down on the Gulf, the Horizon, as all of you are familiar with it, I'm sure, I don't know, though, you don't hear nothing hardly about it on the news anymore. There's hardly nobody talking about it. But they was told by all kinds of people that were in the know, don't drill where you're drilling because there's a huge methane gas compartment down there. So they drilled it anyway. And then it's the deepest well, one of the deepest wells known. It's 35,000 feet deep below the surface. There's 5,000 foot of water. And then 35,000 foot of pipe in the ground. And in the ground with no check valves. They ain't never done this in history. But they did on this one. And of course, when you get down there, then when they drilled into that lava, that pressure, and that thing blew out, there was nothing to check it in the first place. You know, to me, it looks like it was a plan. It looked like it was a plan. It really was. Somebody said, nobody would do something like that. Yeah, I heard one of the guys on the administration made a statement. He was sitting at a table with some other men, and it was on a video the other day, and I saw it, and he said, well, we had planned to drill this well and to create an oil leak so we could get people to not want to drill anymore in the Gulf. But he said, it's a little out of control. That's our own federal government. Is it a little out of control? Yeah, just it's a whole lot out of control. But something else that most people don't realize, that on the 19th of April, our president made a statement. We will no longer automatically support Israel. And the next day, the Horizon blew out. Isn't that amazing? How that every time we say something derogatory toward Israel, we get whacked. Isn't that something? And of course, and we're talking about healing today, but some people may not have to worry about healing. I'm hearing all kinds of rumors everywhere that FEMA is in the process of getting ready to evacuate the coast. Have you, any of y'all heard that? Anybody heard it? That FEMA is getting ready and preparing to evacuate the people on the coast because they say that the oil is continuing to get worse and worse and that the ocean floor is rising and that if whenever the water does run into that hole, if it, when it does get to that point, it could cause an upheaval of the ocean floor and we could have another Mount St. Helens in the ocean. And if we do, they say it's going to cause a tremendous tsunami. It's going to go in every direction. And they said that it could be as the waves from it could be as high as 50 to 200 feet. And they could travel as fast as 400 to 600 miles an hour. And where they hit land, they could come inland anywhere from 50 to 150 miles. I don't want to scare y'all today. But did you know if you're not praying and asking God to do something, you know now would be a good time to ask God for protection. If you're not spending any time on prayer, if you knew what's going on in the world, it might change you to where you did pray a little more. Do you know, it's kind of like the man and the woman that was out in the field with their handicapped son. He was older, but he was at home because he was some kind of mentally handicapped. They were out out hoeing their peanuts or whatever. And as they were hoeing, there was a storm coming, and as they saw the storm, they said, hurry up and let's finish out so we can finish the row and we get the row hoed as we get back to the house. And so they got about halfway back to the house and the storm hit. I mean, the rain was started falling, and so they dropped their hose and went to running to the house. And all of a sudden, the mother said, let's stop and pray. And the boy, the handicapped boy, he said, Mom, scared prayers God don't hear. He said, we might as well just run. Is that the kind of prayers that God hears, a scared prayer? No, he hears prayers of faith. Now then, they had great power and authority, but it's some of us wait till then to pray. You know, the perfect time to pray would have been when they saw the storm coming. But before it got there, stop and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're your children. We realize you have given us dominion and power and authority. It is written in your word, and quote him, his promises. And then say, Lord, hold off the rain until we get to the end. Then you can let it come. Somebody says, I didn't know we could do that. See, that's why we are defeated, because we don't know the word and we don't know what belongs to us. As a young boy, when I just barely knew a little bit about God's word, but my dad put me out in a 100-acre or about an 80-acre field one day plowing, and I didn't want to plow. I had something else I wanted to do, but he wanted me to plow. So I was out there plowing, and I'm plowing in this big field, and all of a sudden I look up. There ain't a cloud in the sky, nowhere. I said, Lord, I mean, my mother tells me that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In Philippians 4:13, she had beat that scripture into me for years and years and years. Now, do you believe that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? Philippians 4:13, huh? Oh, but see, you got to know what his will is. And so I said, Lord, with as little as I know about your word, I said, Lord, this may be a little selfish, but I don't want to plow today. I want to do something else. It's something else I want. I said, Lord, would you bring a good rainstorm right here and really rain real good so I don't have to plow today? I said, be happy to plow tomorrow, but I don't want to plow today. It clouded up and began to rain like crazy. I got back to the house. I was soaking wet. Water was running in the furrow. I jumped in my car, my little car, and I drove around there. I got around the house. We only lived about a mile across, straight across, about 3 miles around the road. I got around and Dad said, what are you doing home? I said, Dad, it rained over. He said, no. He said, it ain't been a cloud in the sky. He said, what are you? He said, you didn't want to plow in the first place. He said, get in that pickup. We're going back over and you're going to finish plowing. I said, but Dad, the furrows are running full of water. Oh, son, don't tell me that. He said, you've never lied to me up to now. But he said, look at this. It's clear. There ain't no clouds nowhere. So we get in the truck and we drive back over there and he pulls up there and there that field is soaking wet and them furrows are standing full of water. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. I said, you wasn't lying to me this time either. Now, When we're serious with God and we pray in faith, what will He make it do? I mean, He give us awesome power and authority. I think about these wonderful promises under this new covenant that God makes us. And let me tell you, if there's ever a time you're going to need them, we're approaching the time right now. In fact, we're living, or not approaching, we're in it. You need to know the promises of God, not only so you can continue to walk in divine health, but that you can take authority over things and see you be protected. Now then, if you happen to live in the Gulf Coast area, I don't know, some of you in here do, if you were looking out there and all of a sudden you looked up and there was a 100-foot wall of water coming at 400 miles an hour, what would you do? What would you do? Would you be afraid? Would you scream, "Oh my God, it's over"? That's what most people would do, even that are Christians. But do you know that if you believe what the Word says, you can take authority over that and you'll be protected? Does anybody know a scripture or a few scriptures that you could call forth under a circumstance like this that you could be protected from something like that? Are you walking in obedience to His Word, number one? Are you walking in obedience to God's Word? Are you a child of God? Then I'm going to bring up something, and I want you to see a scripture, there's just 16 little verses in the scripture. We're going to read over them quickly, but they got a lot in there about healing also. And that's what this is, a healing school. We're going to go to Psalms 91, verses 1 through 16, and I want to show you, not only can you get healed out of this verse, but you have great power, and you're going to need this knowledge and power in the days ahead as we are tried and tested as a church. Do you know you need to learn to walk in faith? Do you know God's a faith God? And you know without faith it's impossible to please Him? You know, that's all written in God's Word. He's given us great and awesome power. But He is a faith God. And if you don't know what His promises are, it could very well be that your life would not be as long as you want it to be because you didn't know His Word. So I want you to see this scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you abiding in the secret place? What does it mean to abide in the secret place? Are you in His Word? Are you talking to Him on a day-by-day basis? Are you praising Him and worshiping Him? Do you wake up in the morning saying, "Lord, I'm grateful I woke up this morning. I'm grateful You're my Lord and my Savior. I thank You, Lord, that I woke up this morning and I'm going to go down to breakfast"? Do you praise Him like that every morning? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. If you don't, you need to start, right? "Lord, thank You for this beautiful day. I know You live in me. I am more than an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. I want to praise You and thank You that I'm Your son, I'm Your daughter. Today, we're going to go down and I'm going to talk about You everywhere I go, and You're going to lead somebody to Jesus, or You're going to change somebody's life today in the name of Jesus." Is that what's on your heart and mind? If it's not, you're not dwelling in the secret place. If you go out and you want to talk to your girlfriends about what you're going to fix for dinner, and you don't even talk about Jesus. If you're a man, you want to go talk about the fishing trip you just had. You don't give God no glory. Don't talk about Him. You ain't dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You see where I'm coming from? If you're dwelling in the secret place, it's kind of like a man and a woman. When he first sees the woman he wants to be his wife, and after his first date, he goes with her, and she's the sweetest thing, the best thing. Man, all he wants to do is tell his friends about how wonderful this girl is. He went to date with last night. Y'all know where I'm coming from? And that girl, if this guy was the best thing that's ever happened to her, she wants to tell all of her girlfriends about this wonderful man she met last night. See? Now, that's the way it ought to be with us and Jesus every day. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then you will say of the Lord, "He is my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God, and Him will I trust." If that's what's on your mouth, your lips, you're talking about Jesus, then I want to show you what He promised you in the next few verses. Look at verse 3. "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You know who the fowler is? The devil. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You know what the noisome pestilence is? It's a raging epidemic. Do you know in Israel right now it's a law that you have a gas mask? Everybody in Israel has to have a gas mask. I bet you that 99.9% of the people in the United States of America, if you handed us a gas mask, we wouldn't even know how to put it on. That's why I walk in faith. I mean, I've wore a gas mask. I was in the military. But I don't want to have one. That's just like I'll tell you what. It's amazing what you can do in faith. I can remember when I was inducted into the military. I had to go through training in the military. And I remember we crawled under some barbed wires that were about this high, stretched tight, and it was firing a 30 or 50 caliber machine gun, whatever it was, about 3 feet off the ground. And when the guy told us, now, guys, we're going to be shooting right over your head, and he said, you'll see a tracer go by every once in a while to let you know those are real bullets. So he said, whatever you do, don't stand up. Did you know that made us, I ain't never hugged the ground so tight. I ain't never eat dirt so much. Because when you look up, you see a line of fire go over you. You know there's real bullets just 3 feet above your head. Now, ain't nobody's right mind going to stand up, right? Because if you did, you know, at the wrong time, you could get killed. Well, when we got underneath those wires off the other side beyond the bullets, then we had to go into a house that had some kind of a smoke bomb in it. And the guys that were going in there were coming out the other side gasping and everything else. They told them, said, now then, you're going to have to go through this the first time without a mask. Some of you guys may have been in the military and done the same thing I did. So you go through that thing, but I said, Lord, I mean, although I was not very well trained, I'd been raised in a Christian home and I knew some of the principles of the kingdom. So I said, Lord, I believe I can go through that with no gagging or nothing in the name of Jesus. I went through that thing. I come out the other side. The guys that were with me, hacking, gasping, and I walked right out. I stood there, the guy said, dude, you didn't go through it. I said, yes, I did. He said, nobody goes through there and can't walk, do what? He said, go back and come through there. I said, you just saw me come out that door. He said, go through and go through it again. I said, okay. I said, Lord, if we did it once, we can do it again. So I went up there and I walked through. This time I took my time. I wasn't even in a hurry. I just walked through. And when I come out the other side, he said, I don't understand you. I said, praise God. Now, what can we do in the name of Jesus? I knew so little about Jesus back in those days compared to what I know today. But what did he say here? He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Does that sound like he's going to protect you? Yes. Let's take a couple more verses now, 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. In other words, them bullets that's going over my head, I didn't have to worry about them. All I need to do is stay low. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now then, if we've made him the Most High God so far, do you see any devastating things here that's trying to come up on you? All kinds. But do you have to fear any of them? No, no, none of them. So let's go to verse 7 and 8. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Is that what he said? So as his children, with all the devastation that's coming, what do we have to be afraid of? Should we be afraid of anything? No. Then why do we get so afraid so quick? Why are we driving down the road? I was driving down the road here a while back with a Christian man. I thought he was a great Christian man. And we're just talking. And all of a sudden, I start to pull off at an exit. And a guy goes around me like this. And my lands, I had to do a couple of things to keep him hitting that guy. And I couldn't believe what came out of the mouth of my friend. When we got straightened up, I said, I thought you were a Christian. He said, well, Thurman, I am. I said, what's in your heart? Where's he come out? Your mouth. He had some bad junk in there. I told him, I said, you need to ask the Holy Ghost to go in and do a brush scrub of your heart. You got some foul words in there you don't need in there. I said, they're going to bring death to you. You're not spending enough time with God. Now, can the Holy Spirit clean your heart? Yes, He can. He can clean it out. He can purify it. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, I don't have to go into fear at all when I'm driving my car, my truck, whatever. I have no fear because it makes no matter what happens, who is riding with you and me? Jesus. Will He do what He said if you know these scriptures? Yes. If you quote these verses to Him, you know, this would be a good time for you to memorize in the next week or two, would be a good time to memorize Psalms 91. Because I believe in all my heart, you're going to need Psalm 91 in the very near future. What are you going to do if you're on the Gulf Coast somewhere and you look up and there's a 100-foot wall of water coming? What are you going to do? If you don't know something like this and you don't know how to stand by faith, guess what? It's over. The next thing you're going to see is you're going to be walking on streets of gold. That is, if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then you're going to be walking in streets of flame, fire. And I don't want to go there, do you? You know how many people are going to die today on the earth? Anybody have any idea how many people are going to die on the earth today? How many? No, I mean the actual number of thousands of people that will die today. How many thousand people approximately are going to die within 24 hours of right now? Anybody have any idea? No. How many people's on the earth right now? About 7 billion. There's about 7 billion. You know, I mean, yesterday I was out running around getting parts for a vehicle. And as I was driving around, I mean, it was just wall-to-wall people. Yesterday was Saturday. I just went over to Denton. And it was raining a little. And so it didn't matter which way you went on the freeway. It was stopped. The freeway was stopped. So, I mean, there's people everywhere. And, of course, I finally made it over to the Tractor Supply and got a little old piece I was looking for. And then the time I got back, I had to take the back roads and everything else because the freeways were plugged up. And I thought, wow, just a little rain. We got so many people. If there was a real chaos, forget it. You couldn't get nowhere. But there's about 7 billion people, and yesterday I thought all 7 billion of them lived in Denton. You know, so... Have y'all ever felt that way when you go out? Well, let me tell you, all 7 billion of them don't live here. They're all over the world. But out of the 7 billion people, about 250,000 are going to die today. There's going to be about 250,000 people all over the world going to die today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And that's going to happen every day. And there's about 300,000 going to be born today, not counting the few thousand that are going to abort. About 3,000 or 4,000 are going to be aborted today in America alone. And we wonder why God's judging us. We wonder why we're sick and afflicted. We're having all this trouble. Wow, we're not walking with God. He says, if we made Him the Most High God our dwelling place, well, 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. I've even been in war. I've never seen anything like that. Never have I ever seen anything close to this. You know, you can't comprehend seeing 1,000 fall at your side, can you? And then 10,000 at your right hand. 10,000 people die in your presence. And if you're able to walk in faith, He says He'll protect you. Isn't that what He said? That's what He said. So like I say, you may need it in the very near future. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, do you want to be one of those wicked and receive that kind of reward? Me? Wicked? I'm not wicked. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you can be a Christian and be wicked. Anytime you don't do what God says, He calls you wicked. I don't like Him calling me wicked. Do you? No, absolutely not. So when I have to obey Him, when I obey Him, He doesn't call me wicked. Now then, verse 9 and 10. It says there in verse 9 and 10, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you. How much evil? Do you like that? I mean, is this a promise from God? You say, but maybe he's not even big enough to do this. Oh, yeah, he's big enough, all right. He can pick you up. I mean, somebody's asked me this statement several times. What would you do, Thurman, if a nuclear bomb went off in downtown Dallas? I said, if a nuclear bomb went off right down here in Justin, or over here in Justin, I said, if a nuclear bomb went off right over there, I'm walking in obedience to God's word, and if he ain't through with me on this earth, I said, that can go right by me and burn, blow everything in the world up out there, and me and my little staff in this little building will still be standing here. Do you believe I can do that by faith? Yes, I can. In the name of Jesus, I can do that by faith. That's my declaration, because the King says, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall, how much evil? No evil. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague or sickness come near your dwelling place. Now, do you like that? Who promised this to us? The Lord, God. He's the one that made this promise. If we walk in obedience to his word right here, how much sickness and disease are we supposed to have if we make him number one in our life? None. Not any. So right now when you see hospitals being filled up with people all over the place, do you see any kind of sin out there? I'm telling you what, you can't turn on the television. You can't even watch the news anymore without seeing sin. I mean, I stand amazed. I hadn't watched television in 30 years, and I bought me one just a few weeks ago. Put it in my office so I could watch some of the news programs to see what's going on in the world. And I watch Christian television too. I can get Daystar and the TBN stations on there, and so I watch some stuff on those. But when I try to watch the news or anything else, I stand amazed at the evil I see on that television set. There's virtually nothing on it any time of the day that's fit to watch. If you're really a man or woman of God, you can't watch secular television and walk in God's anointing. I can guarantee you it's impossible. Yeah. You can't even watch the cartoons. They're even evil. So don't let your children watch cartoons. You know, I mean, wow. If you want to watch some good movies, buy some from AFA, American Family Association, or something like that. Cheryl bought us a stack of movies from AFA here a while back, and man, some of those have been really good little movies. I mean, they are really good. You know, I've enjoyed them. The other night she was going to put on one, her and my granddaughter was going to watch one about a little pig. I said, oh, I don't want to. I said, y'all go ahead and watch it, but I got things to do. So I'm there, and they put that thing on, and it starts, and within 5 minutes, I'm hooked. It's so good. What was the name of that thing? Charlotte's Web. Yeah, a little pig about Charlotte's Web, you know. It was how, and of course, as the spider wrote the things that it did in the web, and everybody was amazed they've seen a miracle, and I thought, why should we be amazed? Who made that spider? Who made that spider? God made that spider. Can God really make a spider spell things out in the web? If he wants to, he can. Did he make a donkey talk to a guy one time in the scripture? Sure. Did he make you talk? Sure. Who is it that made you talk? God. Now, if he made you and me talk, he can make a donkey talk, can't he? I mean, God can do anything, can he not? Yeah, so he can make a spider write if he wants to. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all. But as I watched that little movie, I thought, you know, God, this is so awesome. This is where we really ought to live, with this kind of faith. We ought to have this kind of faith in you. When we see something like that, say, oh, praise the Lord's at work again. We see that spider write the word humble up there in his web. You know, when we walk out and look at that, instead of saying, wow, look at that, isn't that amazing? That's impossible. How could that happen? No, we ought to say, oh, praise God, our God, he's at work again. He's got a message for us. Is that where we should live? Yes, that's where we should live. But he promises right here that in verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague, or you could use that word sickness, neither shall any plague or any sickness come near your dwelling place. So right there, if we make God number one in our life, there's a place right there where he says, how much sickness is going to come to you? How much? None. Do you like that? Would you like to go the rest of your life? You're a young lady, but would you like to go the rest of your life and never be sick again? Sure. You're a young man. Would you like to go the rest of your life and never be sick again? Absolutely. And I'm right there with them. I'm telling you, it's available. But it has a cost. I guarantee it has a cost. You got to make him the Most High God your dwelling place. Verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You know what you could do if you were down there and on the coast, and it's a big area, and you're a Christian, and you were to see that 100-foot wave of water coming in? And this may happen. This may very well happen. I'm not saying it will happen, but I'm saying the possibility is good. It can happen. And if, or you could be going anywhere. You could be anywhere and have anything happen where you need this psalm. You could be driving down the road and all of a sudden see a truck coming down your lane. It'd be a good time to quote Psalm 91, wouldn't it? You know, if you got time. Yeah. Now's the time to know Psalm 91. But I'll tell you what, when you see the wave coming, you ain't got time to go home and get your Bible and try to find it. If it ain't in your heart, it's too late. Now then, if you got it in your heart and you said, Lord, you said you'd send your angels and then pick me up so I don't dash my foot against a stone. Well, there comes a wave of water. So I want to thank you for picking me up and putting me over that wave of water. Now, how many of you believe God could send an angel to just pick you right up and that wave go by? Sure, he could do that for us. Absolutely. Some of you may have never heard the story about the man that was getting ready. Back in years ago, this happened probably 15 or 20 years ago, a long time ago. Does anybody remember the two 747s on the Canary Islands that ran together? You know, you remember that. Okay, a few of you remember that. Some of you don't remember. But this man's mother was a great Christian woman. And she told her son, says, I just feel in my spirit something's going to happen today, and I want to pray Psalms 91 over you before you go get on that airplane. He said, oh, Mom, we're going to be okay. I've already prayed. She said, no, I'm going to pray Psalms 91 over you today. So she got out her Bible, and she prayed Psalms 91 over her son and asked the Lord to do all those things for him. He goes and gets on one of those airplanes. They go out to the Canary Islands. They land for fuel, and they get ready to take off. It was a very, very bad day on the Canary Islands. You couldn't see a quarter mile down the runway. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people flying that are not Americans. They all have to speak English because English is the language they use everywhere as a pilot. You go anywhere in the world, you got to be able to speak English. But some of them don't speak good English. Some of the controllers in different places in the world don't speak Texas English, I'll tell you for sure. So they cleared a 747 down here to a certain runway, cleared another 747, and they were come to different ends of the runway. And whenever they cleared one for takeoff, the other one thought he cleared him for takeoff. So in his fog, they both pulled out on the end of the runway and start down the runway. One is just rotated and is airborne. The other one's got the nose up, and they hit right there. Bam. The one that was in the air blew it all to pieces, and everybody on it died. The one that was on the ground that had the nose up, as it ripped the whole top off, a ball of fire is coming right down through that tube. And the man that was sitting way back toward the back was the man that his mother prayed Psalms 91 over him. When he saw that ball of fire coming, he started screaming Psalms 91. He had it in his heart. The ball of fire went right by him. He said, I smelt skin burning, hair burning, everything. And he said, but I didn't feel nothing. He said, the woman sitting beside me was by the aisle. I told her, I said, ma'am, get up. We got to get out of here. And said she didn't respond. So I elbowed, get up. And he said, when I did, something had cut her completely in two and her body fell off into the aisle. He was cut completely in two. He didn't have a scratch. He jumped up And it's 8 foot to the top of a 747. The top of the top was gone. And so he's about a 50-something-year-old man, still screaming Psalms 91. What did the Lord say he'd send to help you? Oh, angels. So he, 50-year-old man, 8 foot, and he jumps. And he goes over the top of the airplane, out onto the wing, slides down, runs out to the end of the wing. The wing is 3 stories above the ground, 30 feet high. That's 10 foot higher than the top of the peak of that building. And he jumps off onto the grass and don't even sprain an ankle. He got out of that without a scratch. Why? It was a coincidence, I know, just happened to be. No! This guy's screaming Psalms 91. Who shows up to make his word come to pass? God does. Now, isn't that amazing that almost nobody on that airplane knew the word? So those that didn't know the word, guess what happened to them? They died. Now, those that had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they got to go home. But those that died that day, that didn't know the word of God, that had never made Jesus Lord of their life, that fire they saw was just the beginning of where they were fixing to go. And so they all went to hell. And I can tell you for sure, most of them on those airplanes all went to hell that day. Most of them. Because most people don't know Jesus. Isn't that something? They don't really know him. They don't know who he is. But he says there, he'll send these angels and give them charge over you. And they'll bear you up. Do you know you got angels? Do you know they'll help you? When you call on them, they will help you. I mean, lots of people have went through their whole life and never called on an angel. Now, don't be like the Baptist preacher with his little son and his little boy, his angel. He could see his angel, and he was talking to him, a little guy, 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And he's always talking to his angel. And one day his daddy came in and he said, "Daddy, you know, what do you think about my angel?" He looked at him and said, "Well, yeah, I guess he's okay, son." He said, "Dad, no, what do you think about him?" He said, "Son, I don't see no angel there." "Dad, he's standing right there. You don't see him?" "No." So this went on several times. Finally, one day, he's talking to his angel, and his daddy walked in. He said, Dad, look at my angel. Look at him. Look what he's doing." He said, "Son, ain't nobody there. It's imagination." He said, "Daddy, that's an angel." He said, "Well, okay, if the angel's there, then ask him why I can't see him." This is a Baptist preacher. He said, "Angel, why can't my daddy see you?" "Oh, okay." He said, "Daddy, there's too much sin in your life." Now, that wasn't exactly what that Baptist preacher wanted to hear, was it? Is that what you want to hear? No. So what does that tell us about sin? Does God want us to get rid of sin? Yes. Does he want us to walk holy? Yes. And when we do, then he'll talk to us and we'll see him. And if we made him the Most High God, our dwelling place, he will give his angels charge over us and they'll pick us up so that we won't dash our foot against a stone. You don't have to worry about that, but you've got to know the word and walk in it. Now then, verse 13 and 14. "You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot." These are spiritual beings. This is Satan and his host of demons. So if you're walking in total obedience to God's word, do you have to worry about Satan and his host of demons? No, they're under your feet. Only when you sin do you have to be afraid of the devil. If you're made God, the Most High God, your dwelling place, he says you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, the devil himself, shall you trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Is it a good time to know the name of Jesus? Yes, it's a good time to know the name of Jesus and to use that name in faith, because he will save you from whatever catastrophe that's fixing to come. You know, another catastrophe I'm hearing that's fixing to come is the money. Hyperinflation. They say hyperinflation is fixing to hit. Somebody says, "I don't know what that is." Well, let me tell you, if you had known anybody that lived back in Germany in the days of World War II, you'd know what hyperinflation was. Hyperinflation is a time whenever you bring a wheelbar full of money in to buy a loaf of bread. How would you like to be in a place where hyperinflation is changing so that you had to be paid for your job at every 3 hours or 4 hours so you could run down and buy a loaf of bread with a half a day's pay. Would you like to see that? You're going to see that. Hyperinflation, the way they're printing money in the United States of America, all kinds of nations are already saying, we don't want the dollar no more, it ain't no good. This is happening all over the place. So let me tell you, if you got a lot of money in the bank, you better learn to do something with it. If you've got something you wanted all your life and you've done without it, go ahead and buy it if you can pay cash for it. Don't buy nothing you got to pay for on payments. Because if hyperinflation hits, you won't be able to pay for it, so they'll come get it anyway. But if there's something you need or you want and you have not had it and you got the money to buy it and pay for it, just go ahead and enjoy it. You know, use it for God's glory, whatever. But don't, if the tsunami were to hit, do you know, how many of you remember Ike? Anybody remember the storm Ike a few years ago? Do you know that whenever they evacuated Houston, you know, when they tried to tell New Orleans to evacuate, nobody listened. But let me tell you, after Katrina hit, they listened. So when they told them to leave when Ike was going to hit, did they leave? Yes, millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them left. And how long did it take for every gas station in Houston to be out of gas? Just a few hours. A few hours, every gas station in Houston was totally out of gas. Now then, if there were to be one of these things, a tsunami, and if they were to try to tell you that we are come to evacuate you and you're not willing to leave, if you stayed, and then this thing did erupt, you ain't going to have time to get out. If this thing's coming at 2 or 3 or 4, or they said up to 600 miles an hour, you ain't going to get out. So you better really learn how to walk by faith. Because, you know, I hate to be the bearer of such bad news, but, you know, I believe with all my heart what I'm telling you today is going to come to pass very soon. So I just want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. These things are going to happen. God is in the process of judging the world. I mean, does anybody in here believe that God's judging the world right now? Okay, some of y'all do. I believe he's doing this. So if there was ever a time to make him the Lord of your life, is it now? Yes. Let him know before you leave here today. Like I've told many a person, if there's, just like the other night, I was out here working on my truck. This is not me. I don't normally ever do such stupid things like this. But I'm changing, slowly but surely. I was out here working on my truck. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I'm all dirty and everything else, and I just got through with my truck, and my wife comes out there, and she says, well, how's it run? I said, I got it fixed. It's perfect. It's running perfect. And I said, thank you, Lord. She said, let's go celebrate. I said, go celebrate. What do you want to celebrate? She said, getting your truck running. I said, what do you want to do? She said, let's go to Brahms and get a double-dip ice cream cone. I thought about that a minute. I said, here, I'm dirty, tired. I said, what the heck? Let's go to Brahms and get a double-dip ice cream cone. So did we go to Brahms and get a double-dip ice cream cone? Yes, we did. So, I mean, if I hadn't believed that the dumb things that's happening is going to happen, I said, no, I don't need an ice cream for two reasons. I worked hard all day today to try to keep this stomach flat. I don't need a double-dip ice cream cone this late at night. But I did anyway. I went and got it. But I believe that by faith, I have power over what's coming. I believe with all my heart that God he is in the process of judging the world. And if we will believe his word, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. But you better learn how to walk in faith. You better learn these scriptures. Because if you don't know them, I can assure you, you will not live out your full life. I think about when I see this lady here with her two children. I think about the lady that we were out in California teaching the word. And I said there was a family from Oregon that wrote me a letter that said they had a young boy about 8 or 10 years old, and he had been listening to my teachings about, and he learned his authority, what he could do in the name of Jesus, and they were going on a cruise from Washington or somewhere, Seattle or whatever, to Hawaii, and they'd been out a day or two, and the waves got real big, and so many people on the ship were sick and everything else. And the little boy said, Mama, let's me and you go up on the deck and take care of this. So Mama went up on the deck with the little boy. She said he walked over to the edge of the thing and grabbed a hold to the banister and said, see, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus told me that I have dominion and power and authority, and whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, it'll happen in Mark 11:23. So see, I command you to become smooth in the name of Jesus. And she said, in 10 minutes, the sea was as smooth as silk. And I said, you know, and all of a sudden the lady back there held her hand up. I said, yes, ma'am, you'd like to make a statement? She said, I just want to say I'm the mother and this is the boy that did this. They were there at the meeting in California. I said, wow. Now, isn't that amazing? That a little 10-year-old boy spoke. And, you know, I'm sure there were people there saying, that story he just told, I don't believe that. That's just some wild thing he's come up with. But when that little mother spoke up and said, that was me and my son. I carried a little more weight. You know that? Do we have that kind of dominion and power and authority as Christians? We do. But why do people not believe it? You know, you never find out where a Christian really believes until he comes down to the point. And, of course, since this is a healing school, when it comes down to sickness and disease. When it comes to sickness and disease, we don't believe that Jesus is a healer. We don't believe it. I'm going to show you what he said. Verse 15 and 16. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, if you've done all those things, if you made the Lord Jesus your Lord, your dwelling place, all those things belong to you. Do you see those? That's right out of God's word, isn't it? That he promised to protect you from all sickness and disease if you make him, the Most High God, your dwelling place. Did he promise it? He really did? He sure did. Did he promise to satisfy you with a long life? Yes, he did. Are you going to have to receive that by faith? Yes. If you don't know these things or you don't believe these things are not going to work for you. Now then, I want to show you some things in the Scripture about how important it is what you say. I mean, the Scripture is full of these mighty promises. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. I want you to see what this says. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? If you are a born again child of God, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. It's the price of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You, as a person, should die to yourself daily and let him live through you. Do you believe that? Listen to this. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted your life to me. Is this right? Is that what he just told us? This body belongs to him. That life restores my body and every breath I breathe and every word I speak. Should the words we speak and the breath we breathe be his? Yes. Should we speak his words? Yes. You want to change somebody's life? Start talking to them about Jesus. I mean, I was out working on my airplane the other day, getting ready to go to Hobbs. We're going to Hobbs here this next week, and I was tuning it up and doing some things to it, and I was out there all by myself one afternoon, and two guys pulled up in a van. He said, that's your airplane? I said, yes, sir. I said, actually, it belongs to God, but he lets me fly it. And so we talked a few minutes, and as we talked a few minutes about the airplane, I began to ask him some questions. I said, do you guys know Jesus? And the guy sitting across was an older guy, and he, well, yeah. This one here, he's sitting there. He said, well, yeah, I know him. I said, do you guys go to church? Well, yeah, I go some. The one on the other side said, no, hardly ever. I said, what a shame. You don't know him very well. I said, if you did, you'd be in church. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, if you make God, the Most High God, your dwelling place, he will allow you to speak his words, and he'll bring great and awesome answers to your prayer. I said, you can see people get saved. You can see him answer your prayer. Things will happen, wonderful things. You can see people get healed and delivered. So we begin. He said, you ever see anybody get healed? I said, only a few thousand. He says, are you kidding me? I said, no. He said, give me an example. I said, you ever seen a miracle? I said, oh, well, yes. I said, now, this is what I determine a miracle. I determine when somebody's sick or afflicted or they got a broken arm or broken back or whatever, and I pray the prayer of faith for them, and they're instantly completely, totally healed, or their legs are crushed, and they get brand new legs. Well, the instant I pray, I said, that's what I consider a miracle. But yeah, I've seen several of those. He looked at me and said, can you confirm that? I said, well, of course I can. He said, you mean you could actually produce a person alive day you prayed for that had a miracle like this? I said, many of them, sir, many. I said, in fact, I got a website. You can go watch them on website, and you can get their names and everything. And then if you don't believe me, call them and talk to them. I said, they're still alive. I said, on my website, there's about 20 wonderful, awesome testimonies that you can call these people and hear and see that God did a great and mighty work in their life. I said, now, like I asked you before, do you know Jesus? He said, not like you know him. I said, what a shame. Now then, can all of us know Jesus like I know Jesus? I mean, he ain't playing hard to get, is he? He wants us to love him and serve him and worship him. But that's what he wants, intimacy with you. And if you'll be that person that'll do that, then you got to realize that this body is not mine. It's his. He bought it with a price. I have no longer legal claim to this body. I can't go do out and do what I want to do anymore. I have to do what he said. He tells me and you from his word what to do. And tells us to go out and lead people to Jesus. He tells us to go out and pray for the sick. He tells us all kinds of things to do. But as a rule, most of us don't do it. You know, I can think I was a Christian for 25 years. I got saved at 11. I was 35 years old. And if you'd asked me, how many people, in fact, a pastor did do that one night. He said, I want to ask y'all, how many people have you led to Jesus this year? I thought, this year? I ain't led nobody to Jesus this year. Then he said, well, how many have you led to Jesus since you've been saved? I thought, well, I hadn't been saved very long, just 25 years. But none. That's not very good odds, is it? But do you know that some of you in this room may be in the same shape I was in? I'd been saved for 25 years and never led a person to Jesus. He said, why don't we make a change in that? He said, I want you to take a sheet of paper and I want you to write down on that sheet of paper, I, put your name down there, Thurman Scrivener, promise that in the next 12 months, I will do my best to lead blank number of people to Jesus. So I wrote it all out, and right at the end, I put the blank there, and I said, now, Lord, I need a number. And all of a sudden, the word number 10 just came to me. So I wrote 10 in there, and then I read it again. I said, I, Thurman Scrivener, promise I will do my best in the next 12 months to lead 10 people to Jesus. And then it hit me. In 25 years, I ain't led one, and I'm going to try to lead 10 in the next 12 months? I must have lost my mind. No, when you pray and you ask God for a number and he give it to you, who's going to help you lead those people to Jesus? He is. Of course he is. So in the next 12 months, I led 10 people to Jesus. And so then I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I put a limit on you. Never again will I limit you. Lord, I'm just going to make myself available. I'll go anywhere and do anything, and I'll tell everybody I come in contact with about you, and then I'm going to expect you to convict them of sin and save them. And then, Lord, when I learned about healing, I said, Lord, I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell people about your healing power, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to expect you to forgive them and heal them. And I'm telling you, in the 20 years since I've been doing this, I have seen God heal thousands of people. Some of you may be here in this room. Who's in this room today that's been healed under this ministry? Wow, we got all kinds of testimonies here today. So when we come back from the 3 o'clock break, we will take some testimonies. I'll let some of y'all tell all of us what at least two or three of you, what Jesus has done, how he healed you and what he healed you of. You know, now some of you may have got healed of a headache. You think, well, he prayed for you, you had a headache. That's one thing. But if you come in and say, well, I had 20 things, 30 things, I had a list this long, and I got healed of all of them. Ooh, that's a little better, isn't it? Can our God do that? Yes, he can do that. He can do anything. There's nothing hard. But you got to get it in your spirit who you belong to. You belong to Jesus. You're his. This is his body. Is that true? Is your body his body? Have you given it to him? Or are we still trying to live in the flesh and do it ourselves? That's been my problem all my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to put God on the back burner. That's kind of the way we are, isn't it? That's not what he wants. He wants us to die to self every day and say, okay, Lord, what are me and you going to do today? I'm going to go out and I'm ready. Use me for your glory today. And man, if you'll go out with that kind of an attitude, he will use you for his glory. You know that? You'll see people get saved. You'll see people get healed. You'll see all kinds of things. You'll see answers to prayer if you'll do what he says. Now, it is, and we got a John 6:63. I want to read that. We read this. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted your life to me. That life restores my body with every breath I breathe and every word I speak. Then I want you to see what John 6:63 says. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits what? Nothing. I mean, if the flesh profits nothing, why do we spend so much time and money on this beast? Now, I know you girls don't know what I'm talking about. I can't believe what it costs to paint that old barn. You girls, I will have to say, the barn looks good with a fresh coat of paint on it. I will have to say, y'all look really good. But I had no idea what it cost to keep that barn painted. I never had a barn that cost as much to paint as you girls' makeup costs. But y'all spend a lot of time and a lot of effort keeping your physical body in good shape. And I guess there's not anything wrong with keeping yourself beautiful. I don't have a problem with that at all. No problem with makeup or anything else. But you still got to remember that the scripture says there, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So now then, if the Spirit food, which is the Word of God, is the only thing that's going to matter in life, why is it that everybody can't go out this door today and quote me at least 50 verses? If you really believe that, every one of you would have the Word of God hidden in your heart. Would you not? Would we be working on hiding the Word in our heart if we think that's the only thing that's going to profit anything is the Word? Would we be busy hiding it in our heart? Yeah. I have this friend that every time I make a statement to him, he said, now let's see. He gets his thumb out, pulls out a stack about that thick out of his pocket. He said, let me see which one of my flashcards has got that on it. I know, oh, there it is right there. And man, he quotes it off right there. He is always reading and quoting the Word of God to me. Sometimes he has to get his little cheat sheets out to get it, but at least he's got it close. He's got many, many of them typed up on both sides of those little cards, and he carries them in his pocket. I mean, a stack of them that thick. As thick as instead of a pack of cigarettes, one day I thought, he's got a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. And I said, well, you quit smoking. He said, I don't smoke. I said, well, what's that? He said, that's my cheat sheets. That's my flash cards. That's the Word of God. And he pulled that thing out, and I thought, wow, that's a whole lot better than a pack of cigarettes to have in your pocket. That pays a whole lot better dividends. Now then, if this is true, what it says here in John 6:63, listen to what Mark 11:23 says. Now, Mark 11:23, I want you to see this awesome promise. Mark 11:23, look at this. Now, most people, they read this, but they don't believe this. Mark 11:23. Let's see what Mark 11:23 says. Verse 22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you have faith in God and his word, this is what you can do. Now, look what he said. He didn't give you and me as his children under this new covenant. He didn't cut us no limitations. For verily I say unto you that whosoever that's you, shall say unto this mountain, whatever the problem is, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And what can you have? Whatsoever you say, providing it comes from your heart with no doubt.